According to a recent analysis by Google, roughly 130 million different books have been published in modern history. However, that includes various languages. If we narrow it down only to English, we're looking at about 20 million titles, which is still a lot. Plus, in America, we publish around 200,000 new books each year. So what all that means is that in the next 50 years as a reader, you'll have to choose from among 30 million books to read. That's a lot of books, and it can be hard to figure out which ones are worth reading. Now let's suppose that you're going to challenge yourself to read one book per week, which is totally doable. At that rate, you're going to finish 2,600 books over the next 50 years. Not bad. But that's only 0.009% of all the books available to you. In other words, by reading those 2,600 books, you're neglecting 29,997,000 other titles. Or, to put it another way, for every one book you read, you have to ignore 10,000 other books. What all this means is that we need to choose our books very wisely. We need to select titles that make a real difference in our lives, books that cause us to think, reflect, and grow. Often that means sticking with books we enjoy. In 2006, when the Harry Potter phenomenon was really taking off, a literacy group commissioned a large national study in England, and they found that 51% of young Harry Potter readers said they did not read books for fun before Harry Potter, and yet they did afterward. That effect was even higher among boys. Roughly 61% said that they started reading books for fun after reading Harry Potter. Now, why the sudden change? Why did Harry Potter suddenly produce so many new readers? Well, because so many people enjoyed the series. That's it. It's a simple fact. The more that we enjoy books we're reading, the more that we're going to read. Most of us know this intuitively from experience, but we still find it difficult to escape the false belief that good reading must be difficult and uncomfortable, more like going to the dentist than playing our favorite game. Why is that? Why do we feel that way? Well, if you were like me growing up, many of your school teachers forced you to read specific books by a specific deadline. It didn't really matter if you liked the book, you had to read it anyways. So from a young age, our reading was shackled to the demands of others. Teachers chose which books we read, how fast we read them, and how much of the book we needed to finish, and usually that meant the whole thing. Now, those requirements can obviously be helpful in school. I mean, without them, most young people probably wouldn't read the books at all. I know I probably wouldn't as a high schooler. And thanks to the demands of our teacher, many of us stretched ourselves. We read books that we didn't quite grasp, but we needed to learn and to confront. So that's a crucial phase to becoming a better reader. But the best readers don't stay in that school time phase where reading is assigned, it's boring, and it's chosen by others. Instead, they seek out books that they actually enjoy. They look forward to picking up books, even the hard ones, and they get frustrated only whenever sleep or busyness prevents them from getting to the next chapter because they enjoy the book so much. This is a big, big, big strategy to reading more books. You want to choose books that you actually enjoy reading. The problem is, most of us bow to the interests of friends, culture, or reviews from the so-called literary experts, and these people suggest that we have to read certain books in order to be respected or to be well-read. Or they tell us that this is the one book that everyone is reading right now, so you should read it too, and you should definitely like it. But you need to liberate yourself from that slavery. Once you give yourself permission to read whatever you want, you'll read longer, faster, and more excitedly, which means you'll ultimately read more. Now, this principle doesn't only apply to choosing new books to read, it also applies to books that you're in the middle of. Each time you pick up a book, even one that you've already started, you should ask yourself, why am I continuing to read this? What makes this book better than the 10,000 other books I'm ignoring by default? Am I really enjoying this book? If the answer is no, don't be afraid to close it and put it back on the shelf. Never force yourself to read a book that you don't enjoy. There are just so many good books in the world that it's foolish to waste time on books that aren't helping you or aren't pleasing you. So this is important. Very few books deserve to be read, and even fewer books deserve to be finished. Let me say it again, because again, it's important. Very few books deserve to be read, and even fewer deserve to be finished. Opening a book does not create a vow. You're not married to that book. You don't have to stick with it until the end or to death do us part. If you're not enjoying it, just quit. Many of us with parents, when we grew up, they enforced the empty your plate rule. Regardless of portion size, regardless of whether you actually enjoyed the food, you had to finish everything on your plate. And your English teachers probably use the same principle. For them, to read a book meant to clean its plate, to read it from cover to cover. But this assumes that all books are worth finishing, and they're not. Some books contain just one or two golden nuggets, or maybe an especially rich chapter, but the rest is just fluff, and so there's no reason to force yourself to read the whole thing. Now, let me warn you about two challenges that make it hard for us to quit a book early. First is what economists call the sunk cost fallacy. Many of us think, well, I've already invested good money and good time into this book. I've already spent 5 hours reading it, or it cost me $30 to buy, so I might as well finish it. But that's bad reasoning. You've already paid for the book once with your time and money, and you can't get that back. It's done. But there's no reason to pay for it again with unnecessary attention. If the book fails to bring value to your life, close it and find another one that can. It doesn't matter how much time or how much money you've already devoted to the book in the past. A second reason we hesitate to quit a book early is because we think that only books that we finish cover to cover count as being read. But that's a self-imposed shackle. A book counts if it benefits you, whether it did so in one page or 50 pages or 100 pages. And why does it matter what counts anyway? You're not reporting your book reading to anyone. In the long run, whether you finish 20 books cover to cover or read vital parts of 50 books without completing them is ultimately meaningless. You're reading for you, not for anyone else. And so there's no sense slogging your way through a bad book when 10,000 alternatives await, and many of them maybe are better. By quitting bad books early, you give yourself a better chance to find books that will truly change your life. But all this raises an obvious question. When is the right time to quit a book? Well, some readers apply a page count rule. Maybe they say, hey, I'll give it 50 pages or 100 pages. And if they don't find it enjoyable, or if they feel like they've exhausted its value, they close the book. So this gives the author a fair chance to entice you, but not permission to enslave you. Other readers like the 100 minus your age rule. Simply subtract your age from 100, and that's how many pages you should read before quitting. So the older you are and the more reading experience you have, the less time you need before confidently shelving a book. And this means, by the way, that once you turn 100, you're totally free to judge a book by its cover. In the end, your ultimate goal as a reader is not to finish more books, which is why this course is titled Read More Books Now rather than Finish More Books Now. Your goal is to find and absorb books that positively shape your life. Eleanor Roosevelt once said that what counts in the long run is not what you read, it's what you sift through your own mind. It is the ideas and impressions that are aroused in you by your reading. Achieving this doesn't always require reading a book cover to cover. In fact, most of the time, you can achieve those goals by reading 3/4 of a book, half a book, or sometimes even a few chapters or even a few sentences. The Protestant theologian John Piper once reflected that what I have learned from about 20 years of serious reading is this: it is sentences that change my life, not books. What changes my life is some new glimpse of truth, some powerful challenge, some resolution to a long-standing dilemma, and these usually come concentrated in a sentence or two. I do not remember 99% of what I read, but if the 1% of each book or article I do remember is a life-changing insight, then I don't begrudge the 99%. That's really insightful. I really like that quote. So just to recap this lesson, readers know that enjoyable reading leads to more reading. When you find books and authors who pull you from page to page to page, reading is fun and quick. So don't become a slave to other people's book lists and recommendations, helpful as those can sometimes be. You're the ultimate judge about whether a book is worth reading for you. Similarly, good readers are not slaves to their books. They don't allow a book's length to mandate how much of the book they should read. They don't finish a book cover to cover just because they started it and spent a little time reading it, or just because they paid good money for it. They're in control at all times, and they're comfortable closing a book when it has served its purpose. So find books you enjoy and shelve them when you don't. Be the master of your books, not a slave. Now, in the next lesson, we're going to explore how to quickly determine whether a book is worth reading by a tactic called X-raying. You're going to want to learn how to do that, so I'll see you there.